Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Fiddle player and vocalist Glenn Harrell started playing music in high school in several bluegrass bands. In 2002, he got his professional bluegrass music start playing with Marty Rabin, former lead singer for the country supergroup Shenandoah. Glenn always had a vision for his own band, and in 2008, he created the now popular bluegrass band Volume 5, which has netted them multiple nominations and awards over the past nearly 15 years. Glenn joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about that journey. Hey, Glenn, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, y'all. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Good to talk to you. I understand you got a lot going on. You're at a festival, actually, as we speak. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm up here in Moorhead, Kentucky at the Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival. So it's still a bit warm. I expected the weather to be a little bit cooler with it September the 16th. But it's still, I'm not sure how hot it is, but I'm as close to 90 anyway.
Yeah, I've been hearing temperatures even close to 100 down in Texas today. So as we speak in the middle of September, that's still pretty warm.
Yeah, that's real warm.
So give me a little bit of background. You started, if I understand correctly, kind of professionally with Marty Rabin. Is that right? Were you doing some things before that?
I've sort of been in and out of it since I was, I started playing fiddle when I was about 14 and then just, played with like regional bands and things like that. But I guess probably my first professional act was, Marty Rabin. And I worked about, maybe six or seven years with Marty. And at that time I'd always wanted to put my own band together because, when you're a fiddle player, most of the time you end up playing fiddle, you don't get to sing, and I always loved to sing as much as I did play fiddle.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, all the way I can do that is I got to put my own band together.
and so Volume 5 was your first pursuit out of Marty Rabin's band, is that correct?
That's right. I put this band together in February of 2008.
And so you guys have a 15th anniversary coming up here next year.
Yeah, sure do.
Wow, that's great.
And man, it doesn't seem like 15 years. You know what? Me and some of the guys with the Grassfields were talking, Danny Roberts, we were talking today, and I said, aren't we blessed and real fortunate? I said, ever since I've been 14 years old, I've been out here playing bluegrass and gospel and country, and I said, I've made some really good fans and friends over the years, and I said, man, I just count it a blessing every day to get to do what we do. I just love it.
Yeah. Is it picking back up for you guys? I know it was rough there for a couple years, with the pandemic and stuff, but it seems like music is kind of back into swing.
Yeah, I think it's trying to kick off again. Like you said, for about 2 years, 2.5 years, I even had dates back in January and February of this year, 22, that canceled for like the third time in a row, for the year in a row. So, yeah, it's starting to pick back up and people are coming out. So, I'm looking forward to that. For all of us, musicians, I say this from the stage all the time. I say, without you folks showing up, we don't have anybody to pick to.
Right.
to.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you seeing most of the festivals have been able to hang around? Did we lose some? I know that there were several regionally where I'm at in the Virginia area that we're having a hard time coming back online.
Yeah, I think we've lost a few festivals pretty much all over, and one thing that hurts, a lot of these festivals that we've played for the last 15 years or 20 years were family-owned festivals, and, maybe the grandpa has passed away and the kids don't want to keep doing it or anything like that. So, yeah, we have lost some, but, the good news is there's some new venues coming on, too, all the time. So,
I
think it'll be fun.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. So the name Volume 5, is there a significance to that? Why did you pick that?
Well, whenever I formed the band, I just wanted to try to come up with something that might be kind of, memorable. and not so forgettable. And I didn't want to do anything that ended in boys or grass or creek or mountain or river or, you know, anything like that. So I just wanted to find something unique and different. And to be honest with you, it's a really corny story of how I came up with this. I was watching TV one night or something. This Bose commercial had came on, and it showed this Bose radio with like five speakers. And I thought, you know, I wonder how something like that, you know, five guys, you know, turn the volume up as loud as we can, and let's just play our hearts out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's
cool. That's kind of how I came up with that. You know, I knew we're going to be a five-piece band.
Right. How much has the personnel changed from the beginning? It's kind of hard to keep a band together 10 years.
It's real hard to keep a band together because, you know, what's so bad about it is most musicians, you know, it's a struggle. I don't care what genre you play. It's always a struggle to maintain, you know, playing in a committing to a band, to play in a band, you know, like you do. And then, you know, balance family life and sometimes balance a day job. And so, you know, things come up all the time with people. This guy maybe he switches jobs or whatever, and he can't do it anymore. Yeah. Sometimes people just, you know, get tired and want to try something new. But I've managed, you know, over the years, we've had some personnel changes, and I've had some guys that have, you know, actually quit and come back 3 years later and stayed for another 4 years. So it's just the story of music. It just happens.
Yeah.
You know.
You guys as a band, you know, got some recognition pretty early, some early nominations, and then have gone on to win a few. Is there, obviously, you know, every band that starts would like to be able to reach that level, but not everybody does. Was there a formula in mind when you started that put you guys in the position to be able to be recognized by the fans in the industry in the way that you have?
Well, I guess I'm sort of old-fashioned about things. You know, my whole goal when I put this band together is I wanted to, you know, come up with, you know, our own unique sound. And, you know, I didn't want to do everybody else's cover songs. You know, we've done a few cover songs over the years. But more than anything, I wanted something fresh and original and something that, you know, I just didn't want to sound like everybody else. And that was pretty much my goal, you know, from the very beginning. And, you know, as far as the awards and things like that, I don't think a whole lot about it. I just, my first goal, first and foremost, is just to try to record good music and let the music stand, you know. And I remember I watched an interview with Merle Haggard one time, and Merle Haggard said, you know, don't ever worry about tempos or keys that you do the songs in. Just record the songs. That's all you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
Even Ronnie Bowman told me that one time. He told me, he said, man, when you get to a certain level, he said, the only thing that really separates you are the songs. And he's right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you guys write some or all of your own songs, or do you have people writing them for you, or both?
Well, when we get ready, I mean, we write some of our own stuff. I've written, I don't know, two or three, and my wife even wrote one with me on a gospel record.
Oh, cool.
Well, she actually did the writing. I just put the melody to it. But yeah, we write a lot of our own material, but you know, usually we just reach out to the best songwriters we know to try to gather songs. You know, that's the way I try to do it.
How do you decide if a song that somebody has offered you is a fit for your band? Is it a collective process? It's just kind of the sense that, you know, it fits. How do you know a song fits?
Well, to me, I've got a, you know, the thing that I've always used, and I tell all these writers, you know, when they pitch songs to me, and I say, you know, I'm very, very picky about what we record. And, you know, my thing is, it has to wow me from the start. Mm. If it doesn't, I'm probably not going to save it. I've got a folder I keep, you know, like songs to consider to record.
Yeah.
And I may have 100 songs in there, and out of those, I may pick, you know, 8 or 6 or whatever.
Yeah. Are you guys on the road full time? Are you trying to? Is this a full time pursuit for you as a band?
It's somewhat, I guess you might say. You know, we don't want to get out, you know, and be gone from home 250 days a year, but we try to, you know, we try to stay out and hit all the main festivals, the big festivals, but none of us really want to be gone, you know, 250 or 300 days a year anymore.
Yeah.
So
you all have some other things you dabble in on the side?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Aaron Ramsey, you know, Aaron's a record producer and sound engineer. And
yeah.
Chris has a day job, and, you know, I have different things that I do. Me and my son, we own a dirt moving business. So, I, you know, we do that, and then when I'm gone, I play music and let him handle it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, so he hasn't taken up the craft with you musically?
You know, when he was younger, he messed around with guitar a little bit, but I think his first love came with heavy equipment. He really loves that.
Well, we need people in those kinds of jobs too. I tell you, it's tough out there finding the right amount of people to do kinds of jobs like that as it is.
Yeah, to do anything anymore, it's hard to find anybody.
So, how many albums have you guys put out as Volume 5?
Oh gosh, I don't hold me to this, but I'm thinking maybe 10, something like that.
Okay, so almost one a year.
10 or 11.
Yeah. And you have a new one out or on the way?
We do. We've got one that will be out sometime later this fall. It's called Karma.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Have you started releasing songs for that one yet?
I have. The first release we had was a song, sort of the title cut of the record. It was Ronnie Bowman sent this one to me. And said we wrote this song especially for Volume 5, it was exactly what I was looking for. So that was the first one we released, and it did pretty good. I think it had like 7 weeks at number one, so we were pretty thrilled about that.
Yeah.
And then the second song we released is one that I wrote called What I Didn't Say, sort of about my mom and dad, you know.
Oh, man.
Growing up and being.
Yeah.
And then we just released a brand new single from that record here just a few weeks ago called Losing My Religion.
Okay. All right. I'm sure. So is this an original or is that a cover? Because that's an old REM song, I think, from back in the day.
Yeah. It's not that. It's an original tune written by Josh Miller.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Are you guys out now? Obviously, you're at a festival today. Will you be playing through the end of the year and then take a break? How far out does your current schedule take you?
It just continues all the time, really. I mean, you know, it'll slow down a little bit in the wintertime in December and January, but then it just, you know, it pretty much picks up and just, it's an ongoing thing all the time.
What's on your bucket list as a band? Are there some things that you haven't been able to do with this band or that are on the horizon that you're looking forward to accomplishing that you haven't done that yet?
I mean, of course, there's always things you'd like to accomplish, but probably the biggest thing for me is, you know, we just want to make sure that whatever we do, you know, one of these days, whenever we quit doing this or can't do it anymore, we can look back and say, you know, hey, 25 years later, man, that was a good record.
So that's
really the thing for us. It's about recording good records that, you know, hopefully will be a timeless, you know, sort of thing for us.
Yeah. Is it harder now to put a record together with the way people treat singles and the way people's music attention spans seem to be so short?
It can be, but, you know, like I said, I put so much effort into the, you know, finding the right songs for a record. You know, it's always an ongoing battle to try to find enough of the really good songs because you know, my motto's always been, I want every song on the record to be single worthy. Mm. You know, I don't put anything on the record, you know, oh, this is just something we'll fill it up. So we've got 11 or 12 songs or whatever. That's every song on the record has to make the cut.
Yeah. Okay. And the new one you said was Karma, and that is that officially out yet or not quite?
No, it's not out yet. Matter of fact, I just got the new record in. So thanks to the festivals, I think I sold some last week out in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And we've got them with us this weekend, so folks can pick up a copy before they even hit radios.
Okay. So they're unofficially out, just not out as far as the
That's right.
as far as the people in charge are concerned.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And how far ahead do you think with new music? Like, are you already thinking songs for the next project, or is that a little too fast?
Oh, no, no. By the time we get the first record, all the tracks cut, I'm already digging and looking for the next record. I always try to keep everything ready because it'll usually take me a year and a half to gather enough songs for another record.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
I'm always looking. Yeah.
Yeah. Always recording too, or do you collect enough to go to do the recording all at once?
Normally we'll try to collect, you know, enough that we can go in and cut, you know, maybe eight tracks, and then, you know, give that a little bit of time to sort of sit. And then sometimes we may end up culling one track and replacing it, or, you know, we try to go in and cut, you know, 6 to 8 tracks first, and then we'll go back and finish it up, you know, record the last 4 or 5 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Are you guys going to be performing at the IBMA event here in a couple of weeks?
I don't think we're going to be there this year. I think we had some other things that we were doing, or some of the guys had some things they were going to be doing. So I'm not sure if we'll get to make it up there or not this year. I'd like to, but it's just one of those things, you know, when you're booking gigs, you never know when the gigs are coming in, and
right. You
just have to take them as they come in, you know?
I understand. Yeah. And I'm assuming that your schedule is on the website. People can find it.
It is.
How can they find out where to find you guys?
Our website is volume5vg.com. It's spelled just like the band, VolumeFive, and then VG is for bluegrass.com.
Okay. And your records are there and on streaming services as well?
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you, Glenn. I appreciate you taking the time out of your festival schedule there to chat with us a little bit this afternoon, and certainly wish you the best with the new record.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me on. It's always good to come on and talk to folks and maybe tell them something they didn't know before or whatever. I appreciate you taking the time and doing it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I hope we taught some people some things that they didn't know. So, well, I wish you well out there on the road, man, and hopefully we'll cross paths here coming up.
Yeah, same to you, man. I look forward to seeing you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.